Hebrews 9, are you there? 27:28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I want to preach this morning. I've been preaching a series. I'm continuing. We're preaching on living by faith in a culture of fear. But I want to speak on this morning. How will you die? How will you die? It says in that scripture, it is appointed man once to die. That's a fact. Man is destined to die. Because it's an appointment. By the way, if that's true, and it is, that means there's no reincarnation. That also means we all have an immortal soul that we're going to live somewhere in eternity, whether either heaven or hell. That's a fact. But the Bible said, but after this, the judgment. We will all face God. By the way, you do not know when you're going to die. You may walk out that door and drop dead of a heart attack. You will not know where you're going to die. But I honestly want to tell you that really doesn't mean a lot. What really means a lot is how will you die? By the way, there ain't but two ways to die. You either die saved or you'll die lost. Let me say it again. You'll die saved or you'll die lost. I am a Titanic buff. I love the story of the Titanic. I've researched it. Others have researched some things and I've grappled with them. And man, they're nice. You know, I even watched that motion picture. I really did. It was a great motion picture. I liked it. You know, there's some of it I'd have cut out, but I liked it. I mean, I saw the icebergs. I saw the lifeboats. Even the wreckage that went down 2 miles under the sea. But I'll tell you what. From that movie and all the glamour around it, you didn't hear about the list. How many heard about the list? In this room, how many of y'all heard about the list? If you heard about it, raise up your hand. See, nobody knows about the list. I'm not talking about the first class list and the second class list or the third class. I ain't talking about those lists. Every one of you in the room did not know about the list. And by the way, the list was what matters the most. Because see, in Liverpool, at the White Star Lines, hundreds of relatives came looking for their family. But I want you to know, they saw two things. They saw two lists on big white boards and bold letters. And here's what the list said. Known to be saved. And the other list said, known to be lost. I want you to look at me right in your eyeball this morning. You're either saved or you're lost. I want you to know something. I used to be on that known to be lost list. I was running toward hell with a hammer down. But I want to tell you, I read a story about the Titanic, a little extra information about one man. And right now his name flees me, but I'll get it later. Who was actually into the sea hanging on an iceberg. literally freezing to death. And one of the lifeboats saw him. And a big gentleman got on the side and pulled him out of the sea and put him in the lifeboat. He was going down. He was sinking. He was freezing. But I want to tell you, there's a day I was on the wrong list. I was going down. I was sinking deep in sin. But I want you to know something. A great big Savior reached down and said, "You ain't going to hell, boy. I'm lifting you out." And I went from the wrong list to the right list. I went from the lost list to the saved list. I went from going to hell to going to heaven. I went from being a renegade to being a saint. I'm a child of God. Why? I'm on the right list. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you this morning on five ways you might die. You're going to die. So there's five ways. Number one, there'll some of you die unprepared. I got two examples. They'll be on the board. The scriptures will be on the board. But you can turn if you want to Luke 12. But you can also see it on the board. Luke 12 story is simple. It's a story about a farmer. In verses 16 through 21. Who had a bunch of money. But he wanted more. He said, "I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build me some bigger ones. I'm going to make sure I've got some security." We all worry about a retirement. God have mercy, you ought to. The way this government's run. Hello. But I want to tell you, your retirement ain't the most important thing. It's your security and internal security that's the most important thing. This man said, "I'm going to build barns." And he did. Boy, God, he was blessed. And here's what he said, "I'm going to take it easy. And I'm going to live off my wealth. I say, well, I'm going to pay less taxes than my secretary because I'm going to pay only on capital gains." Boy, didn't we hear that? But he didn't understand what was going to happen. He didn't understand what happened. God said, and by the way, he has the last say. "This day, thy soul will be required of thee." You're dying, buddy. And it's going to be today. And a person in this room knows when you're going to die. But the worst thing can happen is that you die unprepared. That man died unprepared. I know another man that died unprepared. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 23, there's another man. And by the way, he was rich also. And he had opulence also. But I want you to know what happened to him. By the way, there's a beggar outside his door named Lazarus. And don't call it a parable because no parable uses any proper name. Lazarus died, went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and lifted his head and lift, but not lifted, lift. That means he's still in hell. He'll be in hell till Jesus comes. Then he'll go into the lake of fire forever and ever. You say, what happened to him? He fared sumptuously. And Lazarus ate the crumbs. Lazarus ended up in heaven. And he ended up in hell. Not because he was rich, because he was lost. And he was unprepared. There's people in this room, I believe you have all the tensions of the world going to heaven when you die. I believe you think you'll have plenty of time, ain't gonna be no worries. You're young, you got plenty of time. Well, no, you really don't. I was over at that place the other day and a lady was there and was talking about her 15-year-old kid. Said she died in a car crash at 15. whoever was driving was doped up and drunk up and hit a telephone pole. Didn't kill them, but killed that little girl. She was sober as she could be. But she followed the wrong crowd. And they had to pry her out of that car. When they had the funeral, the lady was telling me, we couldn't even see her because she was so damaged. But the worst of it was, she died unprepared. I asked her, was she ever saved? She said, no. And I'm witnessing to everybody I could see, please get saved, please get saved. I witnessed the church members. I witnessed the lost people. I witnessed everybody. Please get saved. Number two, hear it out. Acts 5, 1 through 5, if you want to go there, but it'll be on the screen also. Some will die uncommitted. When the church started, thank God for the early church. By the way, that's what we pattern our church as, is the early church and their doctrine. I'm a Baptist because I believe those before me believe Baptists. Amen. But they were growing. Had 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Then here in this scene, what would happen, I don't believe no preacher asked them. I would never ask this. I would never ask one member to sell their property and give it to Taze Valley Baptist Church. Though if you want to, you can. If God leads you that way. But I never asked that. You know what they were doing? Members were stepping up the plate and said, here's my property. And they signed the whole check of the property over to the church. Why? Because they saw something happening. By the way, you invest in something that works. And I want to tell you what works. An old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church that preaches hell hot and heaven wonderful. So everybody was doing it, but there's another couple there. And by the way, there's an Ananias and Sapphire in every church. Oh, yes, they are. I can name some of them for you if you want me to, but I won't call a man Ananias and Sapphira. They ain't committed. I'll tell you what they done. They sold their land. Like everybody else did, but here's what they done. They held it back. They weren't committed. They went up to Peter, said, here's the money. Ananias done it first. You know what God done? Struck him, graveyard dead. The man first. Then Miss Sapphire had come in with her pretty jewelry and her pompous look that she has all the time in church. Her pompous looking look. Hello! I'm preaching, you know I am. But sitting there as uncommitted as you can be. He said, you lying too. And the same fellas that carried your husband out is getting ready to carry you out. He struck them both dead. Whew. Now hold a minute. I got to tell y'all something. There's a bunch of y'all really need to raise your... You really want to get stop this thing and start shouting right now. You ought to just go up, come up on the altar and start shouting. Because you living. And I know some of you's not committed. Because you don't come up on Sunday night. And you don't ever come up on Wednesday night. And your kids don't go to Sunday school, neither do you. And it's a wonder God hadn't took you out of here because you ain't doing a whole lot of help. But He must be having mercy. Whew. Am I preaching? See, I want to tell you what happened to them. They were uncommitted. Why need them? Why use them? Why have them? Then the rest of them people were on fire for God. So God said, I'm taking that bunch of leaven out of here. And you know, preachers don't preach that anymore. There's sin unto death for a Christian, but there is. listen to me. All of us are going to fail. All of us are going to fall. But all of us better repent when we do it. And you better not wait 10 years and tell me you're bitter and angry and you hate everybody. And you've been that way for 10 years and you can't stand certain people. I want to tell you something. Ma'am, you're lost. Sir, you're lost. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. If I had one thing against anybody, I'd repent right now. Don't. I'm clean. But how can people go 10 years and they get mad for the ignorant stuff? I don't believe it. I believe they're sitting here lost this morning if they're like that. Wouldn't it be awful to be a church member and die and go to hell and thought you were going? Number three. It all of a sudden got quiet in here. Matthew 27, 3 and 4. You see it. Stories about somebody else. Some will die unfaithful. By the way, Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them's name was Judas. By the way, in this scripture it said Judas repented of himself. It wasn't of godly sorrow like David done. No, he repented of himself. He had enough conscience left to repent of himself and throw the coins out. But I want to tell you about Judas. He was a devil from the beginning. He is in hell right now. He died unfaithful. Listen to this. He was a disciple. He walked like a disciple. He wore clothes like a disciple. He talked like a disciple. He claimed to be a disciple. He preached like a disciple. He witnessed like a disciple. But in his heart, he was not a true disciple. In his heart, he was lost. In his heart, he was depraved. And in his heart, he died and went to hell. There's men in the church roles today. When the emotion was right, they made a decision. When it was popular to follow Christ, they made a decision. But when the rubber got down to the road, they were nowhere to be found. Oh, if I had all the church members that's been here, we'd have near 1,000. We'd have 2,000. You said, why are they gone? They're gone because they weren't faithful. Amen. Some of them are already buried. Hello. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you this. I've got a little principle I go by here in church. Some people like it, some don't. I don't really care. I'm being really straight. If somebody jumps out of church, man, I am not going to visit them. And if you deacons go visit them, I'm going to put a knot on your head or Robert's cape pray off. Don't. They were rebellious enough to not come to the pastor and come and tell, and they told a bunch of mealy mouths, don't you go visit them? I won't. But if we're hurting, if we're somebody like Dave that made a mistake, sin, we all do it. I'm going to go to them. I'm going to put my arm around them. I'm going to love them. But some of these hateful devils that go out mad and jump out of church instead of falling out of church, I ain't gone. And some of you deacons better get some spite about you because you ain't going either. They're trying to destroy your church. You can't go. Woo. They know where to be found. You know what the problem was? It wasn't preacher. They blame him. It wasn't some deacon or some church member. They blamed him. It was their own ridiculous unfaithfulness. And they weren't really saved. He said they're left because they were not of us. Because if they'd been of us, they would not have left. Amen. Uh-huh. Number four. Now I'm going to talk about some good stuff. Some of you are about ready to bleed out, so I thought I'd better get something else in. Some will die unafraid. It's on the board, Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. As a boy there, full of the Holy Ghost, his name was Stephen. And by the way, he preached it hot. He told that bunch of Pharisees, Paul being one of them, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised heathen. By the way, they stoned him to death. But him being full of the Holy Ghost stood up and said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And I want to challenge you. If you find that in the Word of God anywhere else, I'll give you a sucker tonight. God never stood up. Jesus never stood up for anybody. He's always been at the right hand of God. But I want to tell you something. He saw his boy down there getting beat half to death. Big old stones, his blood on him. Jesus said, I think I'm going to look over my balcony. Hey, Stephen! You're coming soon, son. Stay faithful. Don't be afraid. Woo! I'm going to bless you. And you know what he does? Boy, he ain't no Baptist. It didn't act like him anyway. He got down right before he perished. And I say this to you. Anybody that's done me wrong in this church or done anybody else wrong in this church, I'm going to pray this prayer for you because I don't want judgment to fall on you. He said, Lord, don't lay anything to the charge of them. Lord, I don't want them to die and go to hell. I'm putting a little Smith there. But he was unafraid. I want to tell you something. I'm afraid of a lot of things. And I can sit up here and tell you about something. But I'm not afraid to die. But a few times I'll be wanting to. I just said, Lord, just take me. And he said, not done with you. I'll take you when I'm done with you. Lord, not be afraid. Man, I'm not afraid to die. Are you? If you die today, are you afraid? You better be if you're lost. If you better be if you're a phony church member. I'm calling it straight. Lastly, some will die unashamed. I know a brother that was, he was the reason Stephen got stoned. But Stephen prayed that no charge would be put to him. And he's the one that said in Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he now says on his dying bed, getting ready to lose his head by Caesar, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me, and not only me, a crown of righteousness for everyone that loveth his appearing. I'm looking for it. I want him to come. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say I'm still a fundamental Baptist. I'm not ashamed to say I still use the King James. I'm not ashamed today to say I believe in the blood. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.